The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Prescribed is not the goal. Your goal is not, and this is the goal of all affiliates and all coaches, your goal is not to be able to get your members to do the workouts prescribed. This is the whole reason Strength Bias Program came about. Jeff Martin from Brand X CrossFit created Strength Bias Program because his take was, our members aren't strong enough to do the workouts prescribed. So what we need to do is get our members to be able to do the workout stronger so that they can do the workouts as they're written. That's not the goal.
We are here because we know the outcomes in our lives are within our control. That taking absolute ownership of how we eat, sleep, train, think, and connect with each other is how we'll optimize our health and happiness. That chasing excellence is how we grab hold of what is possible. Our mission is to live on the run. Always chasing, never stopping. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Chasing Excellence. As always, I'm here with Ben. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, Patrick.
Today we're going to talk about something that has certainly been around CrossFit, the CrossFit community, since the inception, and something that seems like perhaps part of a conversation that people are having now, and that's RX. That's RXing workouts, creating workouts with an RX weight. So we had a few folks reach out to me to ask you kind of what your take on RX is in general. So I think I want to start there, which is, one, maybe just give us a quick overview of the history of RX. Like, what is it for folks who might not know or might not understand? What is it, and what is the value in it? Or maybe the better question is, why does it exist in the first place? Before we get into, is it right? Is it wrong? Why do you do it this way? Why do other people do it another way?
So RX is shorthand, like the pharmaceutical world, for prescribed. So it's a, in the CrossFit world, in part of the industry, what we do is we set up certain workouts to have certain stimuluses with certain weights and certain rep schemes. It's another way to specify what the workout is. So when a workout is written, it tells you what the movements are, how many reps to do, and what the loading, if it's a weighted movement, what the loading is for those movements. It also may dictate the time domain of that workout. So it's either for time or for reps. All of those things together dictate the prescription of the workout. So that's what RX means, is this workout is prescribed in this certain form or fashion.
So the first obvious question is, couldn't we do it without an RX weight? Couldn't it be done in such a way that said, okay, Ben, here's the workout, pick the right weight for yourself, and I do the same. Why isn't that the case?
Yeah. So, to answer your question, could it be done that way? Yes. It could be done a lot of different ways. It could be done where there's no prescription for reps or time either. And then we're essentially in a boot camp class, right? Where, okay, everybody grab some dumbbells and press them over your head. Cool. Okay. And now let's put them down and let's do some step up in the box. And that's boot camp. That's like where that is. The further you prescribe, the more specificity you give to the workout, the more dialed in the specific stimulus and response you'll get from that workout. So if we're going to say we're going to do 21-15-9 of clean and jerks and bar facing burpees, and I don't specify a weight, it's really leaving you up to guess as to what the stimulus of that workout is. If I was to say, and when you hear that workout, maybe something jumps out at you, right? If I say that workout's going to be done with 135-95, that's going to be that kind of like middle of the road. It's going to be kind of grindy, probably done in singles, and we're going to be moving through this at a really high heart rate. That's going to be a very tough workout. But if I say it's going to be done at 95-65, the guys versus girl weights, it goes guys versus girl weights, 95 pounds or 65 pounds, you know that that's going to be kind of a sprint, everything you got, balls to the walls. Light your hair on fire. Hold on. Let's see what you got.
Yep.
If I say it's going to be a 225
right.
and 155, okay, very, very different. This can be a super grind, super slow. So what we're doing is just another shorthand for saying all of that stuff of like, it's going to be a grind, it's going to be a sprint, just by putting out the weights. Mm-hmm. That skips over so many different steps. Now the confusion in the community has been, well, if you prescribe it at 135 and my max clean and jerk is 155, I can do it at 135. Yep. So I'm going to do it at 135. That's misconstruing what the intention of the prescribed workouts are. Prescribed doesn't mean if you can, you should. Mm. What it means is it's eliciting this, we're intending this for a certain stimulus. Now, everybody in every affiliate probably does this a little bit differently. The way we do this here at CrossFit New England is we program for our fifth best athlete. It again, when we're writing workouts, gives us a level of specificity. So we're not programming for the masses. We're not programming for the invisible man. We're programming for somebody that we can actually say, if Dave Hamill was to do this workout, how would he approach it? Yep. And we want to elicit a certain stimulus. And from there, we're going to prescribe the certain weights to get that. So if we want this to be a light your hair on fire, we're going to prescribe 95, 65 pounds, knowing that Dave is going to be able to hold on to that bar for almost the whole thing, probably take one or two breaks in the whole workout, still move the burpees pretty good. That all of a sudden, then from there, we educate our members that this is the prescribed workout. 95, 65 for light weights means, 95, 65 for clean and jerks means light. So what we're actually doing is, for each of the kind of classic CrossFit movements, you have clean, jerk, snatch, thruster, deadlift, squat, essentially. Mm-hmm. For each of those movements, there are classified representative weights that go with this thing. That right when you see them, you go, that's light, that's medium, that's heavy. And right when you say that, it's anybody that's been in the sport long enough, kind of, or in the GPP side of it, in CrossFit enough, knows what those certain things mean.
Right.
So if you hear 75 pound power snatch, you know that that is
Randy,
and it's light and it's fast. Just going to be light and fast.
Yep.
And that's the stimulus.
Yep.
Now, if you can do your max snatch is only 95 or 105, you're probably not going to do Randy prescribed because it's not the stimulus we're looking for. Yep. That would essentially be, if you were to do that, the same as most people are getting out of Isabel,
right,
which is the moderate weight.
Yeah.
Now, the other argument comes like, okay, then why don't you just prescribe by weight? I mean, by percentages.
Yeah.
That creates a bigger hangup than prescribed weights do. It's easier to go, listen, this is a 75 pound power snatch. That's light. Let's do something that's light for you. That's easier than saying this is at 65% of your one rep max, because then you have 45% of your membership base, which has not done a one rep max and does not know what the one rep max is. Mm-hmm. And even from there, the 45% of the one rep max is going to be such a different stimulus for different athletes. Yep. If you take the weightlifter, they're going to get smashed by 75 clean and jerks, regardless of the percentage.
Yep.
If you take someone like Katrin and have her do something different, she can go forever at 80% of her one rep max.
Yep.
So the percentages don't solve the problems the way that people do. First, people don't know what the one rep max is. And even for them, when you pull it down and you go 65%, 65% is so different for different athletes. You're not solving the problem. The better thing to go is, this is light. What we mean by light is it's a weight. Let's say we're talking about Randy. The way we brief Randy is, guys, this is 75 pounds for guys, 55 pounds for the ladies as prescribed. Don't really worry about that prescribed. What we mean by that is we want you to pick a weight that's fairly light. Something that we feel like if you absolutely had to, you could probably get 20 to 30 of these reps unbroken. Now from there in the workout, we're probably looking to do this in sets of somewhere around 10, 15, somewhere in there. And right away from there, it's like, okay, I know I'm going to break this thing up every 10 or 15, but if I had to, I'd get 25 or 30 of these things.
Yep.
Now we're understanding this thing.
Yep.
But if you don't give a weight at all, we used to say we're going to do 75 snatches, that leaves me with a whole bunch of guesses left.
Right. And as a coach, that leaves you with 20 minutes of conversations.
Yes.
In a 60-minute class.
I don't know my snatch.
Exactly.
You have a calculator. Like, okay, right. But like I did Isabel last week at this. Yeah. Does that mean I should do it as this? It's so much easier just to educate people a little bit at the front end that this means. Now, maybe you could say light, medium, or heavy. Maybe you could do that. That might solve things. But the other thing it doesn't do is it that eliminates this thing that got people so excited about CrossFit, which was a benchmark, which is this is something that I can measure myself against next time, which if I know that I'm doing Randy at 75 pounds and I'm going to do it again at 75 pounds, that's measurable. If it's at 75 pounds, instead of 75 pounds, you got 60% of your water max and that my water max goes up. Now it's not a benchmark anymore. I'm doing a different weight.
Interesting. Yeah.
And there's no longer comparable across measurable, observable, repeatable data. That's what science is. That is what we're doing when we do CrossFit. Mm-hmm.
What is, out of curiosity, what is the argument that somebody would make against RX? In other words, everything said, and maybe it's embedded in those answers, but what would be, you know, what would be a smart person's answer to, no, this is actually why we don't do RX?
For that, I'd have to ask a smart person. I'll give you my take.
Okay.
And the take is that people become a slave and RX becomes the goal. And if I can do it, I will do it. It's kind of what I mentioned a little bit. Yep. It's I can do the 75 power snatch, so I'm going to do this prescribed. And then they're down to singles after the first four and they're not getting the intended stimulus that they want. We have to educate our people is that it's about the RX weight along with the reps and or the time domain dictate the stimulus. Mm-hmm. And the stimulus is what we're chasing. What I mean by stimulus is this sprint? Is this kind of that suck fest? Or is this a grind? So if we're going to take that first workout set of like clean and jerks, you have it. Like if it's going to be 95 pound clean and jerks, it's a sprint. Yep. 135, it's that suck fest. 225, it's a grind. Yep. And now we just know all of this. But what the problem is that you get people that have 155 pound max clean and jerk doing grace prescribed because they can,
right.
But it takes them 14 minutes to do grace. That's not the intended stimulus. The intended stimulus of grace is somewhere in that 2 to 5 minute window where you're probably opening up with a set of 5, 6, or 7. Maybe if you're a beast, you're doing 10 or 11. And then from there, you're doing singles. Mm-hmm. Now, people might be like, well, no, Ben, you're wrong. Like the top athletes, they're doing grace unbroken now. Yes, that's no longer the intended stimulus of grace, which is why we have competitors programming,
right.
Which is why those guys do quote unquote grace with 185. Yep. And now we're back to the intended stimulus.
Right.
Similar with Fran. Fran is a 95 or 65 pound thruster coupled with chest bar pull-ups. The rep scheme is 21-15-9. Our elite athletes are now, all of them are below 220. You know, some people are closer to that 2 minute mark. That's not the intended stimulus of Fran. The intended stimulus of Fran, this way we talk to our class, is the first round you should get unbroken, both on the pull-ups and on the chest, on the thrusters. The middle round of 15 is the workout. That's where it happens. You're supposed to take one break on the thrusters. The pull-ups probably maybe taking two breaks. If you're a little ninja, I get it, you might get those unbroken. On the nines, we're going to gut through those things. If you have to take one break, okay, I get it. And the same thing on the pull-ups. You maybe take one break. Maybe at that point we spent it all and we're down to 3-3-3.
Yep.
That's the intended stimulus. That gets you somewhere around that 3:30 mark. Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking for with Fran. That was supposed to be. I get it that some people can do Fran at that weight, but it takes them 13 minutes. Yep. They're misappropriating the way Fran is supposed to be done. There is workouts that have pull-ups and thrusters in them, but it's those are the grinds and those are heavier. If you always kind of do just what you can, you're going to be constantly working at this grindiest type thing and never getting the sprint things that you should be getting. You are missing a piece of the fitness puzzle. Mm-hmm.
And so it seems to me that what a lot of people do in that domain of I can do 155 is my max, so I'm going to, is they're kind of reverse engineering their workout based on the weight on the barbell or what they're supposed to do instead of what you're saying, which is reverse engineer it based on the stimulus.
Yes.
And then go work backwards from there to figure out what the right
way.
The way
I like to say this is prescribed is not the goal. Mm-hmm. Your goal is not, and this is the goal of all affiliates and all coaches, your goal is not to be able to get your members to do the workouts prescribed. This is the whole reason strength bias programming came about. Mm. Jeff Martin from Brand X CrossFit created strength bias program because his take was our members aren't strong enough to do the workouts prescribed. So what we need to do is get our members to be able to do the workout stronger so that they can do the workouts as they're written. That's not the goal. Prescribed should be recommended for this type of athlete. Yep. What we want to do instead is the goal is to get your athletes to work at a desired stimulus, rinse, wash, repeat day after day after day after day. And that's what gets them super fit. If the goal is just to get them to be able to do the workouts prescribed, well, once you can do a 225 deadlift, and once you can do a 135 snatch, right, once you can do a 95 on thruster, you can basically do all the workouts, all the girl workouts. Yep. Do you stop getting stronger? Because I can do those, but they take me a half hour. Mm-hmm. That's not what it's about. They're not intended to get you stronger. What we want to do is make sure we're hitting the right stimulus for each workout.
So if we make the assumption that a number of people, not a lot of people, are misunderstanding the point of RX. Mm-hmm. If we assume that to be the case, and I think to some degree it is, would you say that the reason that that's happening is because of the individual egos of athletes who refuse to accept that just because they can do something means they should? Or is it because coaches and affiliates are not doing that work on the front end to educate their athletes on that it's stimulus first, and then we work backwards from there? Or is it both? Maybe it's one of your favorite answers, which is yes.
Yes, it is. I definitely think it's both.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the coaches or the individual athletes are to blame for this.
Yeah.
I think both could take greater responsibility. Check your ego at the door. It's not about, I mean, I think that once you like turn 40 years old, like you kind of figure this out. Mm. I've talked to so many people that have kind of turned 40 and everyone's kind of like,
yeah,
it's not about, it's like, I just want to get a good workout. That's what everyone, that's like the, I just want to get a really good workout. And when you say that, what you end up doing is you get the stimulus right. Mm-hmm. You don't try to do things that you're not supposed to do. And you nail what the stimulus is supposed to be. The second side of that, or the flip side of that, is that the coaches need to take greater responsibility in explaining this to their members. They should not go, okay, we're doing Grace. It's 135 pound clean and jerks. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Like, load up your barbells. Mm-hmm. It's what we should be saying is, we're doing Grace, 135 pound clean and jerks. What we're looking for here is for you to be able to get the first five touch and go. From there, it's going to be singles, but we should not be looking for you to take bigger than a 4 or 5 second break between any of these reps. This is not a grindy workout. We want you to be moving consistently all the way through this thing, ending up somewhere around that 3.5 minute mark. If you feel like you are catching with your feet splitting out too wide, the barbell low on your chest, or having trouble locking out that jerk, the weight is too heavy. Mm. This is not supposed to be heavy. So if you're debating with two weights, go with the lighter one today. Now they know the stimulus. Yeah.
And it's interesting because doing that, I would imagine for those folks who are struggling with, battling their ego, what you've just done is you've given me permission to take some weight off the bar, right? You've said it's okay. It's not only okay, but the point of it is,
this is the point of the workout.
And so it's okay. I don't have to struggle with 135, because everybody who puts 135 pounds on knowing that their max is 155 is going into that thinking it's going to get bad and ugly fast. So like what you've done is you've kind of taken popped the balloon of ego and let them say, okay, I'm going to be smart here. Cause Ben just gave me permission to, one of the things I wanted to ask you about in this conversation is, over at CFNE, you've got three different programming tracks. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you explain what they are, cause I'm not sure I would get it right. But Is that an effort on your part, on your coach's part, to allow people to walk in the door with an understanding of where they're going to start this conversation of RX versus scale or modify? What do you guys call it now? I know there's a point where you stop calling it scale.
Yeah. So,
which is another element.
I'm glad that you bring that back to life, because I actually forgotten that. When you say scaled, it implies like a negative, right? Like you're not good enough.
You're lesser than.
So I like the word I like the best is tailored. Like, we're going to make this for you.
Got it.
This is a tailored workout for you. So this is the workout is 135 pound clean and jerk, but we're going to tailor this to 115 for you.
Yep.
It's like, it just implies something a little bit more refined.
Words matter.
Yes.
Yeah. So the question about the different programming tracks and the intent behind those, is that an intent to tackle some of this conversation about RX, or is there another goal of those tracks?
There actually is another goal. Hmm. So each of those tracks are based off of athletes' goals, not abilities. So you tailor or scale based off of abilities. But the programming track is set up of people's objectives and goals. So somebody might be really interested in training and ready for the open. Now, that doesn't mean that that athlete has muscle ups, that they can do chest bar pull-ups, that they can clean and jerk 225 pounds. What that means is they care about the open.
Yeah.
And we have people that train for the open year round that are still trying to get their first pull-up. But that's their goal. What sets them on fire? They get excited about it. They want to like better themselves from last year, and they want to be the better than their buddies down the street and all that. That's awesome. Like, that motivates you, inspires you, it gets you fired up, it gets you in the gym. It's going to make you a better human being. I want you to pursue that. I also want to be able to support you in that journey. So we have a program called the Open Track.
Very creative.
And very creative. Yes. It has nothing to do with your abilities.
Yeah.
So inside the Open Track, there's RX, but we can tailor those workouts specific for you.
Yep.
We have another track kind of on the flip side of that, which is some people are coming in here because they want to lose 100 pounds, because they want to get off diabetes medication, because they just want a kick-ass workout, because they want to look better on the beach, whatever it is. We call that a fitness track. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that has nothing to do with abilities. It's about kind of the pursuit that they're after. And the reason that we have that is because certain days there's workouts, and we might program Amanda for the open. And Amanda, anyone that's not good at those movements knows it's just gonna be kind of like you're sitting there staring at the rings, you're sitting there staring at a barbell.
Right.
It's not much of a workout.
Yep.
If you have people that are here to try and like get off diabetes medication or look better naked, that's not a great workout for them that day. So what we might do instead is have those people do power snatches. We'll double the reps. They do power snatches and bar facing burpees instead of squat snatches and muscle ups. All of a sudden, that's a smoke show.
Yep.
They're getting smashed. Or we might do it like, figure out the average time. We might do it like an AMRAP 8 or to keep them all finishing together. But inside of that track, we could also scale, tailor, and modify workouts.
Of course. Yep.
We have a middle track, which we call performance. And that's for people that are interested in the performance or sport aspect of training, but they're not trying to get better at the gym. So they're not trying to get better at thrusters. They're not trying to get better at muscle ups. They're trying to use the
golfer.
Yes. Yeah. They're trying to use the gym to get better at something outside the gym in an athletic pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Not lower their triglycerides. They're trying to become a better skier and not get winded hiking up this off-piste thing that they're doing this spring with their buddies. So we call that a performance track. And in there, what we're trying to do is make sure we kind of target the intended stimulus for them. If I had a professional NFL football player coming in, they would not do the open track.
Right. Because they probably don't need muscle ups.
They don't need to get better at the gym. Yeah. What we're looking for is the gym is third wave adaptations.
Yeah.
What that is really specific stuff to get you better at specific stuff.
Right.
Right. It's about like rowers geek out about like whether their hands are, you know, 4.5 inches apart or 6.5 inches apart. Like, that matters to them.
Yep.
For an NFL player, that doesn't matter that much.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to work on so much stuff that just transfers better to outside the gym.
Yep.
Those are second wave adaptations. Yep. For the fitness person, it's about like biomarkers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's about, you know, this feeling that they have, this excitement they have in the gym. So we have three different tracks for anybody that comes in with any goal. I shouldn't say any goal, but like some big major buckets that cover a lot of things.
Yep.
From there, inside those buckets, we can tailor, just as I said, an open person might not be able to do a pull-up. Doesn't mean you can't train for the open. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just tailor those workouts for you every single day.
Mm-hmm. Two questions on that. First one, maybe a little bit quicker, is because I can hear people asking, CFNE has really big classes. How is it possible that you run three different workouts inside of one class? Because it should be said, each track is, there's people doing all three and iterations of all three inside of every single class. So have you found that that's a particular complexity that you guys have had to tackle?
Yes and no. So I give the example of Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most extreme example, like by far.
Okay.
So
you're saying is that most of the workouts look a little bit closer.
Let's say we're doing, Grace.
Yep.
Okay. Cause we use that example already. Grace for a open athlete would be Grace,
mm-hmm.
right? Grace for a, performance athlete would be Grace. For the fitness athlete, it would probably be something more like AMRAP 8 clean and jerks at a much lighter weight. I just want you to come in and like get like work your ass off. Move. I want you to move. Now, for that single modality stuff, sometimes with a barbell, that's another kind of like the next level of like extreme example. We might even put in something like burpees or combine it with a bike. Mm-hmm. It might become something like AMRAP 8, 5 clean and jerks, 10 calorie bike. Yep. We might do something like that. That's the next kind of like the hardest type to do it.
Yep.
But let's take something like Fran, right? Fran's a really easy example of that. Fran for our open athletes, it might be Fran. It might be scaled up Fran, mm-hmm. right? We'll see, but maybe with chest to bars, but most likely be Fran. For our performance athletes, it'll probably be Fran again as mm-hmm. well. And for our open athletes there, it might be like an AMRAP 10 of 10 thrusters, 10 pull-ups.
Yep. Got it. Okay. So last question. So much of this conversation, it feels to me is one about intention, right? Both intention and stimulus is maybe the synonym there that we could use. How would you suggest people start to recognize, start to think about, start to act in accordance with a workout's intention? Like where does a person begin? Yeah. You know, somebody who hasn't heard this before
yeah.
just thinks that RX is the weight that I'm supposed to do. And yep. if I can't do it, I failed. How do you get them to start recognizing intention in a workout?
Let me back up to the question you just asked, because sure. I just realized that there's a second component to like, I didn't really answer the question about like, it's hard to run these different components inside a CrossFit class. Yep. So what we also do at CF&E is we create a lot of structure. Mm-hmm. So the warm-up is very systemized. So it's very consistent from day to day, which allows people with consistency breeds confidence. Yep. That's why you want to be consistent. If you're a proprietor of a business and it's consistent, you feel like you can go there and you know what you'll get of it. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's a reason that kids like to watch the same movie and over again because they feel like they understand it. Yep. Your members want to understand this.
Yep.
And we're doing something different every day, which is our program.
Yeah.
Constantly varied functional movements performed at high intensity. You need to do is create as much structure as you can. So within that structure allows people to have the, because there is so much structure, it's like discipline equals freedom. Mm-hmm. With all of that framework around things, it creates opportunities for autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
If everything was just kind of like scattered here or there and people are doing stuff over there and we're different warm up today and people don't know what's going on. And now you have four people coming up to you asking how to scale this workout and this, that would be a total crapshoot.
Yep.
We work really hard to make sure that it is there's a lot of discipline brought every single day. It's also one of the reasons that we don't do more than 2 days a week of strength bias programming. And we always combine the strength bias programming with a shorter workout mm-hmm. to allow the time to be clear about the intentions of the workout. Mm-hmm. So when we're briefing the workout, we talk about strategy and intended stimulus. And during that intended stimulus, we lay out, we're doing Fran. We want you to, everybody here must, it's the only way you can do this.
Yeah.
Everybody here must get the first thrusters unbroken. Everybody has to get the first 21 thrusters unbroken. You guys pick the weight to make that happen,
mm-hmm.
but you must get that. And no one can go above 95 pounds. From there, the 15s, you're allowed one break and only one break. Okay. Now all of a sudden everyone's like, they figure it out.
Yeah.
But if you don't put 95 pounds up there at all, well, there goes the benchmarks.
Mm-hmm.
There goes this, like I can look at it and get it right away. It takes away half the mystery for half the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the second question was like about intention.
Just about learning to look at workouts through the perspective or through the lens of what is the intent here?
Yeah.
And then let me act in accordance to
that. Yeah. Great. So when you're looking at a workout, you have to kind of like, who is this workout being programmed for? That's not a small thing.
Mm.
Like we're programming for the masses, but this is not saying this is for everybody at all. What it is like, for most people, they program for the best and scale for the rest. Now, we don't do for the best. We do for our fifth best, because what we say there is at least 10 people around that person are going to be doing the workout prescribed. Hopefully, it's way more than that.
Yep.
We're actually trying to get somewhere between like 15 and 20% for most of our athletes to get the workout prescribed on the heart. Now, most, like today we did running, biking, and toes to bar. Like, we want like 80% right. of the class to be doing that prescribed.
Yep.
But if we're doing something with load or higher skill, we want at least like 25 or 35% of the gym, not of a class, like of the gym, getting that workout, be able to do that prescribed. If you only have two people in your gym that can do this workout prescribed, you are missing the you as the gym owner don't understand the abilities of your class and you're not programming for them. Mm-hmm. You're programming for the invisible man mm-hmm. who's not a member of your gym.
Yep.
When you're trying to look at a workout and determine what how you should approach this, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, who was this program for? So if you're looking at CrossFit.com, now it might be for the 65-year-old on the couch watching that square TV. You know,
yep.
Back in the day, it was Forging Elite Fitness, and yep. it was programmed for, you know, Navy SEALs and, you know, law enforcement and professional athletes and MMA fighters and CrossFit Games athletes. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask yourself, who is this for? If you're looking at Comtrain, this is for elite CrossFit Games athletes that are trying to get to essentially, everyone understands it, the regional level, right? That's what that's kind of for. Yeah. If you're looking at CrossFit New England programming, that's programmed for essentially the best athlete in each class,
yeah.
you know, and two or three people around them. Most people are not going to be doing that workout prescribed, and that's mm-hmm. not the intended approach. What we want to do is give people something there, something to shoot for sure, but then don't have them do it that day. That's what you want to make sure that they're figuring out what is the intended stimulus for that athlete to do this workout. So if I think about the best athlete in my class, how would they do this workout? How many times would they be breaking up the pull-ups? How fast would they be doing the runs? How fast would they be cycling the barbell? Okay. What weights would I be using to kind of match that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Got it. Love it. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Patrick.
You can get every episode of Chasing Excellence wherever you listen to your podcasts or on YouTube. Until next time, thank you for listening.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.